Well, everyone, I'm Daryl Chastain. I'm going to talk about a method that was released last year, probably in April. We know a lot about what happens in cotton under drought, at least as far as upland cotton goes. But it gets kind of boring because it all seems to do the same thing. You never really pull out cultivar differences with upland cotton on a metabolic level. Yield-wise, yes, but not with metabolism. So we took a little bit different of approach. We're doing research down in Stoneville, Mississippi, right in the heart of the Delta, at Delta Research and Extension Center. I'm sure you're all familiar with it. So we took Pima cotton and upland cotton and grew them side by side, not to make comparisons across cultivars or across species, more within a species in response to irrigation treatment. So we're really limited there as far as irrigation. We're all furrow irrigated, so we have dry land and irrigated effectively. We based our irrigation on soil. There's a cockroach on my laptop right now. Let me step back. It's on the direction key, so it's... Hold on. What's that about? So we have... It's all over me, man. why is there a cockroach on the laptop? Yeah, that's crazy. Anyway, so where was I? we based our irrigation off of soil moisture tension using I can't even focus. Decagon MPS sensor MPS 6 sensors. We were using a new gas analyzer, which I'll get to in a moment. We basically did survey measurements throughout the year and a new method called RACER. Traditional ACI curves take a long time to do. They take probably, 35 minutes, something like that. With the new machine, it's much faster. It's the 6800, which is the one on top. You've probably seen the old 6400. It's the green box. All the physiologists are running around the field. The 6800 will do everything that the 6400 would do, but it's much faster, and it also allows for some new methods where you can look at other parts of photosynthesis a lot faster, namely ACI response. So this is where you expose a leaf to ever-increasing or decreasing CO2 concentrations and look how the kinetics of photosynthesis work. We use this data, which the y-axis is net photosynthesis, the x-axis is CI, which is internal CO2 concentration inside the leaf. Based on the shape of this curve and a lot of math and a lot of modeling, you can derive the blue curve, which is AC. You can get an idea of, say, effectively how fast Rubisco could work if it was in an environment of unlimited CO2 and unlimited RUBP. And the red line, that can give you an idea of how much energy is available to regenerate RUBP for use by Rubisco. Previously, with the old method, you have to equilibrate at each one of those black dots, which ends up in like a 35 to 50 minute stand. You're standing in the field holding a heavy box for 35 to 50 minutes. The new method published last year, you can pull it off in 7 to 10 minutes. So that makes it like field capable. You can actually go out and look at this in a field environment and, you know, gain a little bit of data you haven't before. This method basically goes over 100 ppm per minute. And it's basically the same graph as before, net photosynthesis by internal CO2 concentration. The black dots connected, that's the traditional approach. The stacked lines, if you look, each one of those is actually a point, so you're getting thousands more points compared to the original. And curve fitting is the same. We did a lot of work to look at this, comparing the parameters you derive from traditional versus the RACER method, and we can never find a statistical difference between the two. So we're confident that using this in the field is actually legit, and we're not coming up with different parameters. If you want to read about it, look at Stenziano et al. 17. So, last year we had a lot of rain. We had one little tiny drought period. On the y-axis here, you have, you can't even read it, soil moisture tension, let's say cinnabars for just to make it easy. You have dry land and irrigated, Pima's up top, and upland's down bottom. Upland didn't really get drought during the window that we were looking at. These are three different depths. We never really crossed 100 cinnabars during the period that we were looking at. So we don't expect to find a whole lot there. We did see it in Pima, though. Pima was a really aggressive grower. We had huge stands, and they were like 4.5, 5 feet tall, and they were pulling out a lot of water. And we did cross the 100 cinnabar mark during our period. If you remember, we, let's say effectively, we sampled on a, we did racer curves on Monday and survey measurements on Wednesday. And we also did some survey measurements early on in the year. Early on in the year, no differences between the two. That's pretty standard. We didn't compare Pima to upland because it's, I don't really see it as valuable. We mostly did within irrigation treatments within our, across irrigation treatments within a cultivar. So no differences early on, any water-related metric. So transpiration, stomatal conductance, and leaf temperature, no difference. That's expected. We weren't under a water stress at that point. Later on in the season, you see a little bit of a difference for upland for transpiration, a little bit for stomatal conductance. Pretty much everything's different. Higher leaf temperatures, it's typical, showing typical symptoms of water stress. Net photosynthesis was not affected in upland. That's the y-axis is net photosynthesis, bottom, same as normal. For Pima up top, there's your first sample date where we're not under water stress. There's the second date. We have like a 13% reduction in Pima under water stress, but nothing in upland. And so you can't really make a whole lot of statements about what happens with upland, but the Pima, we thought we might find something in the racer curves. We did not. And again, I said we sampled on a Monday for racer curves and Wednesday for the survey measurements, for the survey measurements. We didn't find anything in the racer curve for any cultivar for any time. So as making a statement as to whether or not it's useful for detecting stress or coming up with some underlying physiological mechanism, it didn't seem to work for that. But we didn't, let me go back, we didn't see a VC max, which is like the maximum rate of Rubisco activity. Didn't see a difference there. We didn't see a J max reduction. So the next results are really confusing. 2 days later, we saw a 14% decline in 5PS2. So that's how well Photosystem 2 captures light under lit conditions. We saw a 14% decline, and I've never seen that in upland in response to drought. It just doesn't happen. Some people say it does, but they're wrong. Upland cotton just takes all this excess energy and burns it off as photorespiration. And the light reactions are just sitting there, chugging along, ready to go for better conditions to come along. But I saw some evidence in the literature that Pima under high heat conditions, which go hand in hand with drought conditions, that it's a electron transport limitation. And people have said that for upland too, but they're wrong again. So I'm not really sure what's going on, and I'm not sure if it's possible to get a electron transport and a 5PS2 limitation without a J-max limitation. They're two different methods to detect the stress, so I'm not sure if it's real or not yet. And Racer is, it's new. I'm confident that it's detecting what we think it's detecting because this is from some peanut work we did earlier this year. This curve up here with an arbitrary time unit, just it's another racer curve. If you just look at the net photosynthesis data over the 10 minutes, everything looks great under a severe drought stress. But whenever you have really, really low humidity environments, you have errors calculating CI. So this is what you actually calculate as a CI under severe drought stress. So there are problems with it. You have to do a whole lot of, an insane amount of data correction, but to filter out these erroneous CIs. But under my conditions where we didn't really have much of a drought, we had a little bit, then you can catch those early settings. We're working on a fix to where we can use, where we're controlling just on relative humidity rather than some calculated leaf parameter to be able to do our controls. And being that every time I set up an irrigation study in Stoneville, Mississippi, a hurricane comes through, we're going to do some growth chamber work to see if we can kind of figure out exactly what's going on with this species. I mean, I'm not kidding you. So I told you I sampled on a Monday and a Wednesday, and it rained nonstop after that. Everything was terrible. So it completely threw the entire experiment out. We think we can do a little bit better in the growth chamber. We just installed these two new systems here, and we've got an automated irrigation control, and we'll be able to get a little more information for that. And this was funded as a side project from the USDA ARS grant listed there. It's a nematode project. There's a poster 27, if you want to take a look at some of the other stuff we're doing. And with that, I'll take any questions. Yes, Avat. What's up? Oh, it comes off of the gas analyzer. Yep. Clip it on. It's like a leaf level transpiration, not whole plant. I know you're probably wanting whole plant transpiration. But yeah. Yeah, we go out with we try to get things as similar as we can to what's going on in the field. We take a thermal gun, like a FLIR gun, and go out and look at the leaf that we're wanting to measure and look at the area that we're wanting to clip and walk around in the field a little bit before and kind of try to set up the chamber settings, the environmental settings, similar to what's in the field so we can get as accurate of a... Yeah, but it's really rapid. It takes, 45 seconds to 1 minute, 20 seconds? Yeah, it's just incredibly rapid. And the standard errors plot to plot are so tight that, I feel 100% confident that we're coming as close to mimicking environmental conditions in the field as we possibly can. What's that? Set the light intensity inside the chamber. We tend to just go for saturating. I know you can. There's a lot of arguments. You're opening up a big can of worms, but I would say we set it at 2,000 PAR and run with it across every treatment, because, once you open that up, you're starting to change things. So we just keep it at 2,000. I'm a physio. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I've collected a lot of data. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I made the comment, I don't think that... Well, and Upland, I've taken a lot of data. I've collected a lot of data, and I've never seen it. Yeah. The only time I've ever seen a reduction in... Yeah. Maybe. Yeah. No, not for screening for cultivar. This is mainly just to gain some new information. We have the new system. We had to test it. And we ran this alongside of another project. It didn't work out the way we wanted it to.
All right. In order to keep us on time...